Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. This podcast is solely produced with the intention of spreading awareness. Facts are verified through public records, police reports, media coverage, and occasionally family or friends of the missing. Any negative comments blaming or shaming the victim or their families may be deleted. This is an independent production. There is no fancy editing and therefore may not be the production some are looking for. Just remember, it takes one person to share information to the right person, and a cold case just might get solved. Jared McCullough took his two dogs with him everywhere. Well, except maybe to work, but given the opportunity, he might have taken them if he could. He loved his dogs that much. In late 2023, Jared was also excitedly hoping to have his teenage son move down to Louisiana and live with him. His son was going through some trouble back home in Illinois, and he was currently living in a facility, but Jared was working on making plans to take over custody and hopefully get him back on the right path. And in September of that year, Jared became a dad once again. Jared and the baby's mother were no longer together, but they did remain friends. Jared was there for the birth, and the two were looking forward to co-parenting together. On November 4th, 2023, Jared made the spontaneous decision to drive from his home in Louisiana to visit his son in Benton, Illinois. He'd pick up his son's mother, Jared's ex-girlfriend, in Illinois, and they'd head over to visit their son together. Jared cashed his paycheck, and then he and his two dogs hopped in his truck to make the 8.5-hour drive together. His drive to Illinois seemed uneventful. He stopped a few times for gas and food, maybe to let the dogs run a bit, and then he continued through the night to his destination. But something weird would happen. The evening of November 5th, Jared's mother received an alert from OnStar that Jared's truck had a dead battery and had run out of gas. Further investigation led to the discovery of Jared's truck down a desolate road in Indiana. His dogs were still inside the truck, but two of the truck doors were left wide open. Jared was nowhere to be found. In fact, Jared hasn't been seen or heard from since. Where is Jared McCullough? Jared McCullough was born on May 24, 1990. He spent his childhood growing up in Illinois before moving to Louisiana with his mother. He was a quiet boy, and he did struggle a bit in school. Eventually, Jared was diagnosed with dyslexia, which explained why he had such a hard time. But despite his hardships, Jared was a fun-loving child. He grew up being kind, with a fun sense of humor, and he grew to love playing football. Now, Jared did find himself in trouble as a teenager and a young man, but by 2023, Jared had really worked hard to get his life together. Jared had been on probation, and his supervision period was scheduled to end in mid-November of 2023, after 5 long years. He was thrilled and excited for this part of his life to be over. Jared was also a father to a teenage boy who was living in Illinois, along with Jared's ex. Neither parent had custody of the boy, however, because he was currently living in a juvenile detention center in Benton, Illinois. The extent of the trouble that the boy had found himself in isn't really known, but by 2023, Jared was working to obtain custody of him and hopefully move him down to Louisiana. He had plans to help him get a job, to help him work hard towards his future, and to just spend time with his son. In September of 2023, Jared also became a father again. Jared and this child's mother wouldn't stay together as a couple, however, they would remain good friends and they would commit to co-parent together. The other loves in Jared's life were his two dogs. They went everywhere with him. If Jared could have taken them to work with him, he probably would have. Roxy, a beautiful German Shepherd, and Rusty, a feisty retriever, were always by Jared's side and they were quite loyal. They would follow Jared everywhere. Jared's life seemed to be going well and things were moving in a good direction. He had a new baby to help raise and he was so close to moving his teenage son down to Louisiana. He was also just days away from being released from probation. But a mysterious phone call on Saturday, November 4th, 2023 would change everything. The disappearance. On the afternoon of Saturday, November 4th, 2023, Jared spoke to his mother, Tammy, on the phone. They were close, and in fact, Jared was living in his mother's home and taking care of it for her while she and her husband traveled for work. They weren't currently living in the same state, but they still talked on the phone often. When they spoke that day, Jared didn't mention any plans or doing anything really interesting that weekend. It was a typical mother-son conversation, and everything seemed normal. Tammy just didn't realize it would be their last conversation. There would be one more text communication that Tammy received from her son the morning of November 5th, around 10 o'clock in the morning, a text that simply read, "Where is that?" There was no context around this text, and it seemed to come out of the blue. Tammy believed it had been meant for someone else, and she didn't respond. Something she said haunts her to this day. The evening of Sunday, November 5th, 2023, Tammy received an odd email. It was from the GMC app, and it was alerting her that Jared's truck had a dead battery. Another oddity. But it would be the morning of Monday, November 6th, in which Tammy received a call from law enforcement. They had found Jared's truck abandoned in a very rural and desolate area of Indiana, alongside the Wabash River. The dogs were inside the truck, the driver's door and the back seat door were both open, the battery was dead, and the truck had run out of gas. None of that made any sense. First, what was Jared doing in Indiana? He had just been in Louisiana the day before when Tammy had spoke to him. She knew nothing about this trip up north. Second, those dogs would never leave Jared's side. Yet they were inside the truck with the doors open. They hadn't run out or they hadn't followed him anywhere if he had gone anywhere. Why was that? Jared wasn't answering his phone either. But the most alarming question of all, now haunting Tammy and causing concern for Indiana authorities, where was Jared McCullough? The search and investigation. The search for Jared McCullough was now on, and while everything seemed confusing and no one was quite sure what was going on, they knew they had to do something, and the concern was immediate, mostly because of his dogs being found without him. Tammy started reaching out to anyone she could think of in the Illinois area to find out what had brought Jared up there. Why was the truck there? Tammy eventually contacted Jared's ex-girlfriend and the mother of his teenage son and learned the reason that he had been traveling up north. He was supposed to pick her up and they were going to go visit their son who was in a detention facility in Benton, Illinois. Now, this was all news to Tammy. She had no idea he was making this trip, even though she had spoke to him shortly before he had left Louisiana. Jared's ex also told Tammy that she had not seen Jared. He had never made it to her house at all, even though she had talked to him through the night, and he was very close to her home by around 2 o'clock in the morning. So why had he not made it to her house? Was she telling the truth? Did she have something to hide? What was going on? Jared's case can be a little confusing, so let's break it down into a timeline. Now, this timeline was created during an investigation by Jared's family and law enforcement from phone records, phone pings, some CCTV footage, bank records, and even some witness statements. I do want to say the creation of this timeline took quite a while to put together, and it would be hindered by the fact that it was daylight savings weekend when clocks would be changed backwards 1 hour, and the fact that some of Jared's activity happened in Central Standard Time and some happened in Eastern Standard Time. He was literally right on the line. So when these times are shared and put into this timeline, keep in mind it could be affected by those extenuating circumstances. But here's what was learned. On the afternoon of November 4th, 2023, Jared received a phone call from his ex back up in Illinois. This was regarding their son, and Jared immediately made plans to drive up to Sandoval, Illinois, pick her up, and then drive to Benton, Illinois, to visit their son in this detention facility. We don't know the exact details of this, as it was never shared, at least publicly. What was so urgent? Why right now? Why did he have to go right now? Had something happened to his son? Had something happened at the facility? We simply don't know. But Jared felt it was important. He packed some snacks, a cooler with energy drinks, loaded up his dogs, and hit the road around 6:30 p.m. The drive north from Marion, Louisiana, up to Sandoval, Illinois, should take about 8.5 hours. At 9:04 p.m., Jared stops at a gas station in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. At 11:23 p.m., he stops in Pocahontas, Arkansas, for gas and food. Now, I do want to note, it will appear that he stops frequently for gas, possibly because he is just trying to keep a full tank. He isn't really spending enough on his bank card to fill the GMC truck gas tank, so it's likely he's stopping for restroom breaks and to let the dogs out, and then just topping off the gas tank while he's there. Jared stops again at 2:23 a.m., now Sunday, November 5th, this time at a gas station in Salem, Illinois. He is extremely close to his ex's place here, and the two remain in constant communication via cell phone. At 2:47 a.m., he leaves that gas station, takes another call from his ex, and does a U-turn. It is noted here that the ball hitch is still seen on the back of his truck. He is next seen at a gas station in Central City, Illinois, at 5:30 a.m. While this is 2.5 hours later, he is only 13 miles away from the gas station he stopped at prior at 2:47 a.m. It is noted that on this surveillance footage of the gas station, you can tell that the ball hitch has now been removed from his truck. It is 7:59 a.m. when he texted his mother that strange, "Where is that?" text. At 8:51 a.m., Jared stops at a gas station in Kearney, Illinois. He pulls in behind a white truck pulling a trailer. A maroon car pulls in behind Jared. Jared gets $20 worth of gas here, and he goes inside to pay. Authorities have identified all of the people in the white truck and the maroon car. At 10:24 a.m., Jared's phone makes a last outgoing call. At 10:37 a.m., Jared's ex calls him. The call lasts for 4 minutes, and that call pings off of a tower near Mount Carmel, Indiana. Just as that call ended, she calls back, and that call lasts for 2 minutes this time. At 10:57, she calls him again, and the call lasts 11 minutes, now pinging off of a tower near Allendale, Illinois. 11:08, another 6-minute call from the ex, this time pinging off of a tower in St. Francisville, Illinois. And it's worth noting, it seems Jared is moving, or at least his phone is moving in an easterly direction when he should be heading south. The next morning, now Monday, November 6th, 2023, around 6:30 a.m., someone calls in an abandoned truck in a rural, off-the-beaten-path area in Indiana. Two of the four doors of this truck were wide open, and there were two dogs inside the truck. And it was quickly determined that it was Jared's truck. At 7:30 a.m., a tow truck is called and the dog warden is called. The truck was removed, as were the dogs, and the scene was declared cleared around 11 a.m. Now about the truck. The truck's ignition had been left on, although when it was discovered it had run out of gas. The battery had also died. Two truck doors were left open. Jared's belongings, except for his cell phone and wallet, were still in the truck. His cooler, his box of snacks, and it was said he had a bunch of tools in a toolbox containing a lot of expensive tools, all still there. Now, no one knew what to make of this at first. There was no sign of foul play, so the truck wasn't fingerprinted or examined forensically, nor was the ex interviewed. It just looked like Jared or someone had parked his truck there and walked away. But there's a few problems with that. First, he was on a mission to go visit his son. What derailed those plans? What changed? Second, the road the truck was found on is more of a dirt road. It's kind of an access road of sorts. Everyone locally will say that it's generally used only by oil workers and maybe some farmers. No one really even knew that this road was there. So how would Jared have found it? Was it even Jared who drove the truck there? Then there's the issue of the dogs. These dogs were known to follow Jared everywhere, yet they were sitting in the truck as if they were obediently waiting for him to return. The doors were open. They could have run off if they wanted to, but they didn't. And if Jared had just walked away, they surely would have followed. As time went on, Jared's family faced many hurdles in the search for Jared. Which agency should even handle it? Where exactly was the truck found? Different agencies had told her different things. Luckily, many volunteer search and rescue teams came in to search the river that ran right next to where the truck was found, the Wabash River. In addition to many locals volunteering their time, coming out there, putting on wading boots, and searching, looking for any clues at all, there was a few nonprofit organizations that also joined in the search. Peace River Canine Search and Rescue and Band Together Canine Search was also conducting searches for Jared in and around the Wabash River near where his truck was found. No clues were uncovered. This entire situation was so bizarre. And there's a lot of questions, I'm sure, regarding the ex, the people in the other truck, maybe the maroon car, but we just don't have a lot of information. They have never spoken out publicly, and people that Jared was communicating with that day, that morning, have not been very forthcoming. I know this can be a confusing story, so let's kind of summarize what we do know. Jared left to make an 8.5-hour drive north just after getting a call from his son's mother. He made several stops along the way, and he took his dogs with him. He communicated almost solely with the son's mother during this trip. At some point after making it to Salem, Illinois, Jared's ball hitch was removed from his truck. Now, this is really an odd detail to me. Then, everything from Jared goes quiet. His truck would be found the next morning in a remote area in Knox County, Indiana, which is just over the border from Illinois on the Wabash River. But this was the opposite direction he would have been traveling in to go visit his son in Benton, Illinois. And his dogs were faithfully waiting in the truck for him to return, despite the doors being left wide open. Knox County, Indiana. Jared's story takes us through several cities in Illinois, which could be important in his disappearance. First, he was supposed to pick up his son's mother near Salem, Illinois. And by all accounts, phone records and fuel stops, he was near that area just after 2 o'clock a.m., the morning of Sunday, November 5th. From there, they should have traveled back south towards Benton, Illinois, where Jared's son was living. Instead, his movements took him east towards Indiana. We know he ended up near Mount Carmel, Illinois, just after 10 o'clock a.m. Again, he was headed away from his destination in Benton. He, or at least his phone, appeared to move north through Allendale and then to St. Francisville. This would be the last official Ping location. His truck would be found across the Wabash River in Indiana, not far from St. Francisville. So what area do we focus on? Well, so far, most of the search efforts for Jared have centered around the Wabash River, close to where his truck had been located. The Wabash River is one of the most significant rivers in the Midwestern United States, flowing through Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois. It's about 475 miles long, making it the longest free-flowing river east of the Mississippi. As with many rivers, the water levels here fluctuate a lot, making searches in the water very challenging. The depth of the Wabash near Knox County can range anywhere from 8 feet to 20 feet, depending on weather conditions. The water in the river flows south until it reaches the Ohio River at the Kentucky border. The nearest city to where Jared's truck was found, at least on the Indiana side, would be Vincennes. This would be the area that sent out the dog warden to pick up Roxy and Rusty. And just to ease your minds with that, Jared's family was able to pick up his dogs. They still have them, and they are taking good care of them. The questions. I feel like this could be the longest discussion on Jared's case. All of the questions we have. It seems like they could be never ending. What was so urgent that Jared decided to spontaneously take this trip, drive through the night to get to Illinois? Was something wrong? Was he lured there for some reason? Or had something happened to his son? Why had he made it so close to his ex's house, but allegedly never made it there? Why was the ball hitch removed from his truck? Did it have anything to do with the other truck and trailer seen pulling into that gas station with Jared in those early morning hours? Why were his dogs just sitting in the truck? Had someone else driven the truck there? And why there? Who knew about that remote and desolate spot? Even locals claimed they didn't know about it. Had someone possibly harmed Jared? And if so, why? So many questions. Now, this is usually the time we would discuss some theories in the case, but really, nothing here makes any sense. As always, I encourage you to keep an open mind until we have any concrete or proven answers. However, with that being said, it appears as if something bad might have happened to Jared. The biggest clue to me, not the phone pings, not the truck, but the dogs. A dog person would never leave their dogs behind. And we know Jared loved those dogs and took them everywhere with him. And the fact that the dogs were found in the truck. Had Jared walked away, I'm certain they would have followed him. The two main possibilities to me is that Jared did drive his truck there. Maybe he became lost and walked away, perhaps had an accident and fell into the river. The dogs waited for him and eventually went back to the truck. Or Jared encountered foul play. We just don't know who, why, or where. It's possible that someone else drove that truck there. It's possible they left the dogs in the truck with the door open so they could escape, but those dogs were loyal and were waiting for Jared to come and get them. Or had someone else driven out to that area with Jared and something happened? So many unanswered questions. But really, it does appear as if something bad happened to Jared. Jared's mother works so hard to keep her son's name in the media and continues to fight for answers. It is her belief that the Wabash River might hold the answers, and sadly, she doesn't believe Jared is still with us anymore. Jared's family has started a Facebook page, Finding Jared McCullough, which they update regularly, they answer questions, and they share additional information. Jared's mom, Tammy, made a post some time back regarding her experience in dealing with a missing loved one. I thought this was very well written out, and it contains very important information regarding what to do, and I'm going to share it with you. I'm going to read this directly from the Finding Jared McCullough Facebook page. Quote, There always seems to be so much controversy in the search for our loved ones, so I thought I would share my lessons learned after all of this time. The steps that should be taken immediately. These are my lessons learned. Number one, contact law enforcement. Make sure a police report is filed. Do not take no for an answer. Do not leave until they give you a case number. Number two, gather as much information as you can, such as last seen wearing, last person to physically see them, who they were in contact with, last on the phone. There is no such thing as too much information. Number three, make sure and demand that the reporting law enforcement agency files with NamUs. If they do not, you can. You simply need to provide the case number. Of course, once you do, the police agency will have to approve, but at this point, they don't have a choice with the case number provided. Number four, lock down your personal and private data as best as you can. Once your missing loved one's information is put out there, scammers will come out of the woodwork. Number five, be wary of people pushing you for information or assistance. There are so many self-proclaimed search groups and freelance journalists out there who do not have your missing loved one's best interest at heart. Even if they are not asking you for money directly, they are using your pain for their social media gain. Number six, make sure that any groups that you work with are 501c3 nonprofit registered. We all would give anything to have our missing person home. Unfortunately, there is a process that needs to be followed to ensure that they are brought home and that we can get the answers that we so desperately need. End quote. So what do you think happened to Jared McCullough that November day? Jared McCullough is described as a Caucasian male standing 5'9" tall and weighing around 180 pounds when he was last seen on November 5th, 2023. He was 33 years old. He was believed to have been wearing blue jeans, a tan brown Carhartt jacket, and blue Skechers shoes. Of course, you can visit the Finding Jared McCullough Facebook page to see a bunch of photos and get more information. Anyone with any information at all regarding the disappearance of Jared McCullough is asked to please contact the Knox County Sheriff's Office in Indiana at 812-882-7660 or the anonymous tip line at 618-367-1828. It does seem to me, at least, that this case may truly benefit from the anonymous tip line. Someone out there knows something. Thank you so much for listening to Jared's story today. We will follow this episode up with a post on our website containing more information, more photos, as well as additional resources and sources on Jared's case. A huge source in putting together this information was the Finding Jared Facebook page, as well as the continued coverage from News Nation. I'll also be sharing a GoFundMe the family has set up if you are in a position to help. It's so hard and so expensive to continue searching for a missing loved one. The last thing you want to do is let money hold you back from doing anything. Even a few dollars can help, or even just sharing this GoFundMe link. Let's keep sharing Jared's story and keeping his case out there. Someone has to know something here. Remember, it just takes one person coming forward to break a case wide open and bring a family the answers they need. If you have made it this far into the podcast and appreciate our work, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. This helps us so much, is free to do, and I can't tell you how much we'd appreciate it and how much exposure it helps bring these cases. Also, a reminder to make sure you're following us over on the socials. I try to bring updates over there. I will put up Jared's GoFundMe and share the Facebook group set up for him. You can always find that on our Facebook page. The Where Are They podcast is also on Instagram and X. Those links will be in the show notes. Lastly, if you have any case suggestions for us or feedback, or perhaps some additional insight on any of the cases we have covered, please reach out to me via the socials anytime or email me at canwefindthem@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening to Jared's story today. Let's keep talking about him. Let's keep his name out there. And let's keep the pressure on to find this young man and bring him home to his family. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing persons story. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.